Good morning and Happy New Year once again. Our scripture text is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, in verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Let us begin by picking up in verse 4 so we can get the context of our scripture. In being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So just 6 weeks prior to this, in the upper room, Jesus had promised the abiding presence of God the Holy Spirit to New Testament believers, saying, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." John had baptized with water for repentance. But now, the promise was to be fulfilled of another baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an identification of God with his people. And it is an immersion in the sense that as New Testament believers, we are God's temple. Not many days after Jesus ascended, this came to pass. And the event was repeated with regard to the Samaritans, to the Gentiles, and the disciples of John the Baptist, who had not yet heard that there was a Holy Spirit. These one-time events mark the transition from the Old Testament dispensation to the New Testament church age. And they were attested to as true works of God through signs and wonders. Following the transition period, in the book of Acts, we find the baptism of the Holy Spirit as an identification with God that accompanies salvation and not distinct from salvation. We read in the book of Ephesians, "In him," that is Jesus, "you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory." Continuing in the narrative, in the book of Acts, we read, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority.'" So the disciples question, "Lord Jesus, will you now immediately institute your kingdom here on earth?" And they get an answer tantamount to "not now." Indeed, Jesus will one day return to usher in his kingdom. But first, the church age, which the Apostle Paul calls a mystery because it had not hitherto been revealed, must come. So now we have arrived at our text, having placed it in its context. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And our applications are two. They are these. First, we shall speak of the source of our power. And secondly, we shall identify the nature of our work. First, the source of our power. We have it throughout the scriptures, and we have it stated in our text, that the source of the power of the believer proceeds from God the Father through God the Son and is affected by God the Holy Spirit. Now, too often, we act as though we are the source of our own power. We'll do this until God shows us differently many times, will we not? We act according to our own ways. And we act according to our own timetable, instead of according to God's ways and God's times, because of sin and unbelief, because of pride and stubbornness. All too often we disconnect ourselves from the divine power source. Thompson cites the following examples from Scripture. Israel could not stand before her enemies on her own power. A broken covenant stripped Samson of his strength. Apostasy, the walking away from God, produced a nation of cowards. Nations and their peoples were weakened through idolatry and unbelief. Made the apostles helpless at times when it came time to contend with satanic forces. This is very well for them. But have we not also learned from our own life experiences? We have tried to fix people, to fix places, things, events and circumstances on our own power. And all we have gotten for our trouble is a boatload of frustration. We have made our promises before God, and sometimes before men also. And we have not fully kept our oaths. And we've reaped the consequences which were our due reward. We have drifted away from God. And we have compromised with the world. And therefore, we're afraid to speak truth, lest we be exposed ourselves as hypocrites. God has taken a back seat to family, to career, or to some other interest or hobby of ours. And we have been weakened by idolatry. Because of unbelief and sin, Satan has had a field day in some area of our lives. He may be still having his day right now in that area of your life. Therefore, let us resolve today to live as people empowered by God's Spirit. Seeing then that we do not walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. How do you suppose, friend, you might know and understand what the word of the Lord is? I left you a moment to answer that.
Reading
the Word of God. Putting that challenge out to all of you in the congregation this year. My wife and I have been doing it for years and years, sometimes once, sometimes twice. Reading through the entire Word of God in a calendar year. It can be done if you have 20 minutes. And if you don't have 20 minutes, maybe there's something you're doing with your time in your life that can be set aside to do the more needful thing, that you might be able to read the objective truth of God and know what the Lord's will is for your life. If your great-grandfather, before he passed, had left you a book of family advice, wisdom for living, would you not treasure that book and want to understand the things that he had written down? How much more so ought we to treasure and desire to read and to learn the truths that the infinite, perfect, and holy God of truth has written down for our benefit? Final verse of our subtext reads this way: "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, in the context of our scripture text, back in the book of Acts this morning, the disciples were anxious and confused, maybe a little bit afraid and apprehensive. Well, Lord, if you're going up to heaven, what now? But they were called to wait on the Lord, and they were called to work in His power. Through their obedience, they fulfilled the word of the Lord in type, that which was spoken through the prophet Isaiah: "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." The second application of our scripture this morning relates to the nature of our work. I hope that The fact that God is the source of the power of the Christian has been sufficiently impressed upon you thus far. And now let us continue in making direct application. We have it in our text, the nature of our work. It is the Great Commission to be witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. God's people shall be witnesses to Jesus Christ at all times, in all places. Let us start here. In our homes, in our families, in our church, in our city, by praising and by preaching Jesus Christ, both with words and with actions. Not with just words and not with just actions, but with words and with actions. In word and in deed. We preach that God sent His Son into the world, that He died to pay the penalty due for sin, and that He rose from the dead. We also learn God's word, and we put it into action in our lives. And let us, having established good habits, having bloomed where God has planted us, be sure to take our witness wherever we go. Now this morning I shall offer suggestions as to where to begin. Do you wish to fulfill the Great Commission? You do not need to begin in Tanzania. Let me ask you, friends. Do you go away on a weekend from time to time, Saturday night into Sunday? And when you do, do you read your Bible daily? Do you find a local Bible-believing church to worship at when you do? Or do you prefer to sleep in Sunday morning, have that big breakfast? Has God called you to be a witness in Jerusalem only, but not Judea and Samaria? Has God called you to be a witness here and a faithful servant here, but not wherever you go? Are you a Christian at home and a heathen on vacation? Are you a Christian at home and one of the guys at work or at the gym? I shall be done here on this point. Not sure how much more we shall be able to bear. Now we have presented many truths, drawn many applications this morning, but the simple truth is this. Christians are called to do God's work, God's way, in God's time, according to God's power, always and everywhere. Lord, we confess that many times in our lives we have failed to do your work, your way and your time, and on your power, being neglectful of the work altogether or trying to be the hero instead of looking to the hero the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. We thank you for new days, for new mornings in which your compassions fail not, for new weeks and for new years. Lord, give us the grace to be able to go forth in your power in 2017 and make a difference. First, we leave ourselves open to you making a difference in our lives. That first, we might receive the gospel truth, believing in faith that you came and died for us, were buried and rose again, and also to live conscious of the fact that you go with us wherever we go, and that you empower us for every spiritual service which you've called us to. Lord, may this be the year of revival in our family, our church, and city. And Lord God, let each one of us pray, even to a man, let your revival begin with me. We offer up these petitions in the name of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.